Hi, welcome to the Berry Nation podcast, where we support the bariatric community with humor, humility, and honesty. I'm April.
I'm Jason.
I'm Natalie.
Today, we are so excited to be welcoming two doctors in the bariatric world who we have never had the honor of interviewing, Dr. Carl Pestet and Dr. Shannon Kupan. Hello, friends.
Hello.
Hi there. Hi, everybody.
We are so excited to talk to you today because our topic is top of mind at the moment. When this episode is published, it is about the middle of October, and the TRIO Foundation's Walk from Obesity is happening on November 4th. Walking is something that our community absolutely loves to do. Oftentimes, though, we hear people will say, well, I'm just walking, right? They add this just qualifier. And we are here to tell you that walking is one of the most powerful forms of movement that we can do. And Dr. Pesta and Dr. McMahon today are really going to help us understand why it is really one of the best ways that we can move our bodies. The other thing that we're excited to really understand better today is the TRIO Foundation. So the ASMBS has a foundational arm, and it has recently changed its name, and I think in a lot of ways shifted its mission to be a little bit more grounded in education and patient-forward research. And we want to understand what the mission of the TRIO Foundation is, and invite all of you, whether you are listening or watching, to join us at the TRIO Foundation's virtual Walk from Obesity on November 4th. It also happens to be the same day if you're going to the Bariatric Society retreat. We will be walking in person there. So we thought this is a wonderful opportunity to move together, whether it's virtually or in person. Going to be exciting. Yeah. So before we dive into the conversation, I would love for you, Dr. Pesta and Dr. McMahon, to just briefly introduce yourself to our audience that has maybe never met you before.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I'll start out. Good afternoon or good day or whenever you're watching this. My name is Dr. Carl Pesta. I'm a bariatric surgeon in Michigan, the Detroit area, where I have the pleasure of working with Dr. McMahon at the same hospital system, the McLaren-Macomb Hospital System. I've been doing bariatric surgery for 20 years. I started my bariatric practice in 2003, so I've been at it for a while. I do primary bariatric procedures. I do revisional bariatric procedures. I focus a lot on endoscopy, revisional procedures, and primary procedures. So it's really one of the most exciting parts of my practice. And I just love it. I love the effect that it has on people's lives, their health. And it's really given me just a joy to practice this part of medicine. You know, when they ask us what we want to do when we go into medicine or why we want to go to medical school, they say, you know, why do you want to do that? I said, to help people. And I don't think there's any business in medicine that helps people more than what we do in bariatric surgery and bariatric medicine. So it's a pleasure to be here. I really thank you guys for the invitation. I look forward to sharing with you the TRIO story and what we're all about.
I'm so excited. And I think I can speak for Jason and Natalie when I say this. Making the decision and undergoing bariatric surgery has had the largest impact on our lives. So to know that there are so many amazing surgeons and doctors that are working in bariatric medicine to advance it for patients is amazing because it's made all the difference in our lives.
Right. Thank you.
Dr. McMahon, will you introduce yourself?
Hi. So as Carl said, we work together at McLaren-Macomb. I primarily do outpatient medicine now. I've been doing internal medicine for over 21 years. Due to my own health journey, I actually am a bariatric patient as well. I had gastric bypass in February 2020. And then I realized how little I actually knew about my own disease and why surgery works and all those things. And that's on a whole nother podcast, probably, like we talked about. But what it led me to during COVID was two things. I decided to pursue board certification in obesity medicine. And I also began my walking journey during COVID because Dr. Pesta hosted COVID walks a couple times a week during the shutdown just to kind of keep our community together since everyone was kind of detached. So I do outpatient internal medicine. I do weight management, obesity medicine, and then we're also training the residents in our program, something called lifestyle medicine. So lots of forward progress in understanding the disease and teaching the newer generation of doctors, which is very exciting.
I remember, Dr. McMahon, one of the first conversations I had with you, I was just so blown away by your commitment to helping other patients, the commitment you've made to yourself as a patient, and just how passionate you are about really ensuring that obesity medicine and just the understanding of the disease is at the top of mind, right, of every patient out there. It's something you are so passionate about and you speak so eloquently to. I'm just so excited that you get to join us on the podcast today too for this conversation.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
All right, wonderful friends. Well, before we dive in, I will just let you all know, if movement and walking or even running is something you are interested in incorporating into your life pre or post-op, in the Berry Nation support community, we are hosting what we're calling a 5K accountability group. So whether this is the first time you are kind of training to walk a 5K, or like me, you think that maybe running or slogging, as I've been calling it, is something that you'd like to do, we invite you to join for you to join us in our accountability group. We meet once a week just to get together as patients to talk about what we're experiencing, talk about what we're learning, and really just find that little extra motivation to move on the days that we maybe don't feel like doing so. So if you'd like to join us, just visit us at berrynation.mn.co, or there's links in the show notes, or there's links in our Instagram bio, but we would love to welcome you to our support community. All right, my friends, I say we just dive in and start talking about movement.
Let's do it.
All right. First question. Why is walking one of the most powerful ways that we can move our body before and after surgery?
Is that it? Me, I'm assuming?
Go ahead, Shannon.
Go for it.
Well, it's obviously free. So that's one really good thing about it. But there are numerous health benefits. Again, I really wasn't aware of all the benefits until I kind of did a deep dive to facilitate a talk at our own bariatric support group. But you know, walking even 10 to 15 minutes a day has been shown to decrease blood pressure, decrease stress hormones, improve memory, and decrease risk of dementia. I mean, we can go in much more detail, in any topic that you find interesting, but the health benefits are way more than just about movement. Especially if you have a malabsorptive surgery or a gastric bypass, you know, switch procedure, walking helps keep your bone mass up so that you don't develop osteopenia or osteoporosis because you're at risk because of calcium absorption, vitamin D absorption. It helps with muscle strength. It helps with balance. It works your core muscles, your hips, your thighs, your knees, your ankles. And it actually works your brain in very interesting ways. We can put it in the show notes, but there's actually an author who's a neuroscientist, and he studies walking. His name is Shane O'Mara. And he goes into this whole very, very interesting angle at walking. He labels different types of walking, and you know, there's walking in nature without any distractions, is said to double your creativity, whereas compared to sitting at a desk. He has cardiac walking, where you walk at a certain speed so that you feel winded, so that you improve your cardiac health. Social walking, where you find a friend and go walking. So he breaks it all down. I think the actual name of the book is called Walking in Nature. I ordered it, but it hasn't come yet. It's called, I'll find it. The Praise of Walking. That's what it's called. The chapter I was reading earlier was the excerpt was from Walking in Nature. But so that's, you know, one very interesting thing. And, you know, we all just say, oh, even I'm guilty of it. Oh, I only walked today. But, you know, they're actually doing studies now. I just actually found one and I'm going to read and I will share. They did a study where people walked for, you know, between 3 to 4 miles per hour. And they did moderate intensity longer times to see if that was better for you for burning body fat than like power walking or running. And it looks like the data is showing that like endurance walking, so moderate speed, moderate intensity, but for longer. So like 3 miles, more than 30 minutes, usually like 45 to 60 minutes, I think is what they're studying. And it looks like it is decreasing body fat compared to other types of walking. Another interesting tidbit from another podcast I follow by Frank King. He found this study that said if you walk 3 miles, that actually taps into your body's stores of fatty acids. And so by fueling with that, you actually affect your insulin processing. And we all know how about, you know, about hyperinsulinemia, like Dr. Ortiz talks about and things like that. Whereas if you run or you do super power walking, it doesn't tap into that as much. So there's lots of studies being actually going towards the science of walking and the power of walking for fitness. So it's, there's, we could probably fill a whole podcast just with that. So.
Well, I mean, first of all, I didn't know all of that, but I like feel like I knew all of that, if that makes any sense at all. My grandma walked until she was 85. She would walk, you know, 1 to 3 miles a day until she was 85, just plugging along with her little poles. And I, that was a big reason for me to have surgery was like, man, I want to be 85 and, you know, walking 1 to 3 miles a day. And so I think I always knew that it was a good thing, but to hear that it affects things like bone mass and insulin and cardiac, we can assume, right? But hearing you say all those things, Dr. McMahon, was really enlightening for me, and I know for April and Jason as well.
Yeah, that's not even the whole list. So we can kind of go in a little bit more detail, maybe after we talk about TRIO if there's time. But there are studies that older adults who walk, you know, multiple times a week, even for a short time, they do have decreased risk of Alzheimer's, dementia. It increases their balance, so it decreases their fall risk, and it helps their agility, which prolongs their life. And grip strength, ironically, correlates with patient survival rates. So the stronger you keep your body as an older adult, the better survival rate you'll have, basically. So, but yeah, there's more data than I can even, my brain is going 100 miles an hour trying to get the most important things across. So we can definitely pick it apart a little bit more at the end if there's time.
What I just want to make sure I heard correctly is that I think this was what you were talking about, the study with insulin. In my brain, I too sometimes can get down on myself because, well, I'm just walking, but I should be running or I should be doing all these other things. But in that study, what you're saying is that walking for 3 miles, is that 3 miles? Or was it so a distance of 3 miles or is it 3 miles per hour for an extended amount of time taps into that different level of the insulin, but whereas running doesn't. So walking is actually the most beneficial compared to all these other things. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's some of the argument that's out there, especially if Frank King's work, because he was a former runner and he got an injury. So then he started looking into walking. And so then he kind of did a deep dive into that. But yeah, endurance walking. So ideally, you know, you're going at a decent pace. I think they kind of said around 3 miles per hour. Which is probably close to a 20 minute mile maybe. But the length of time. So if you can walk for 45 minutes to 60 minutes at a moderate intensity, that actually has been proven to potentially decrease your body fat more than like high intensity. But I think it depends probably on your body type as well. But those of us in our community that have struggled with excess weight, that's probably where the money is, so to speak, because we need to try and burn our own body stores before we burn, like, you know, eat carbs to burn during that. But there's also some data that says if after bariatric surgery, if you do that kind of walking, like 45 to 60 minutes a day, you actually have a better rate of keeping your weight in maintenance and reduce your risk of regain. So I think that's going to be coming out more and more. There's more and more studies about how you walk and what type of benefit you get. So, you know, if you're already an athlete, you probably don't probably get as much of it out of an endurance walk. Whereas if you're a beginner and or if you have excess body weight, the endurance walking may be the better thing for you in the beginning. Instead of focusing on speed, it might be just getting more time in. But they've also shown even as little as 15 minute walk a day improves your health and overall well-being. So yeah, it's very interesting. I delve, you know, it's like a rabbit hole you go down with all the studies on walking. I just found like 10 more today. I'm like, well, I'm not going to open them. Not today. But yeah, we can definitely
have more done. April and Natalie both know that that's music to my ears because I don't run. I run late and I run out of water. Those are the same. Two things I run, and that's it. So power walking for me, I'm all in because I've got long legs and I power walk pretty much everywhere I go. So high five for the endurance walking because that's my jam.
Yeah.
Well, and it just goes to show, too. I mean, it does so much goodness for your brain, like you were saying, Dr. McMahon. I mean, there's so many amazing benefits. I try to walk 45 to 60 minutes a day just because I like it, because it's fun for me. It's a way to clear my head. But now to kind of know that, like, I shouldn't feel bad for not running. I'm doing just as good for my body as I am, you know, any other time just walking.
Well, that's actually part of the reason I went into a deep dive, because I did, you know, try running and I have, you know, a bad knee and I'm like, this is just not sustainable, but I was beating myself up about it. I'm like, well, maybe power walking at a certain speed is equivalent to running. And so then that's how I kind of went into the deep dive about the caloric burn versus, you know, body fat versus, you know, those kind of things. So yeah, no, walking does not get enough credit. And there's even more benefits that we haven't even scratched the surface on, but the main thing is walking does count. Any movement counts. You have to pick what you like we had talked about on our Instagram live walk. Pick what you like, move intentionally, and also increase your overall daily activity. Try and get up once an hour, and even once a 30 minutes and walk around. Like, we had said that they're saying sitting is the new smoking. So mm-hmm. The less sedentary you are, the better your survival.
You know, and what's going through my head right now, and Jason, if you don't feel like sharing that this part of your journey, then I don't want to put you on the spot. But when you and I were first getting to know each other, you talked about how devastated you were that you couldn't do the college tour with your son because it involved walking. And what I just keep thinking about is so many people in our community are missing out on this huge part of their life because they are limited by their mobility. And sometimes my brain will go to, well, yeah, you can't lift, you know, you can't do a dumbbell lifts or whatever, right? Like big, heavy movement. But so much of our life is tied to just, again, walking. And now that you've had surgery, I can only imagine all the other things that you've been able to do in your life, Jason, now because of simple walking.
Yeah, well, and, you know, the crazy thing about it is when I couldn't make it through that tour, I was having a hard time walking maybe 10 feet without being out of breath, just because my weight, my mobility was so bad. And I almost take for granted now the fact that how far I can walk and not be winded at all. Like, I can do hills, I can climb, I can do stairs, I can do whatever it takes. And I don't ever connect back with how I was, you know, when I couldn't make it, you know, that 10 feet. But it really is something that when you do sit back and really put it in perspective, there's so many things that surgery has given me, but movement back is the biggest thing. Because like I talk about it often, is, you know, being a grandfather and a father and being able to run around and chase my grandbabies and do the things and not have to sit back and just, you know, once again, be a spectator in parts of my own life are monumental. It's just things, like I said, I don't put in perspective. So actually the walk that we do when we do this walk will be the first 5K I've done. So I'm super excited about that for lots of different reasons, you know, to be able to support not only other people in the community, but also being able to just do it, period. And knowing that I can do it is something that I don't ever want to take for granted, because I know I spent too many years not being able to do, you know, pretty much any type of movement at all.
You know, and what makes it so powerful is that it's not that you didn't want to do it, Jason. You very much wanted to do what came along with life. You were just physically limited by the disease. And now that, you know, we're all treating it, we really can imagine a different life for ourselves. But not only that, we can finally start imagining doing the things that we always wish we could do, because we are making walking a part of just who we are after surgery, right? That constant movement. Why do you think walking gets the just label? It's just walking. Why do you think there's the stigma that surrounds it?
Well, I mean, my personal take is it's that all or nothing thinking. I think we all have different skewed views of what exercise means. You know, usually, like I think you had talked about fairly recently on one of the podcasts, is like we used to view exercise as like punishment. Like I ate too many calories, I have to go exercise. And that if we are not eating, you know, 1200 calories and going to the gym 5 times a week, that you're not going to have success. So I think we all have that mindset. Whereas we just have to have the mindset that moving is good for our health, mental health, physical health, and any movement that you enjoy that you do is going to benefit you in some way. But walking in particular, I think because everyone has access to it and everyone does it every day, we kind of take it for granted and don't really think of it as fitness. But it's, if you do it intentionally, it has benefits. And if you do it unintentionally, you know, just regular walking during the day, if you take more steps during the day, you're going to be healthier than those that don't.
I think there's so much to be
I was just gonna, you know, when I hear everybody talking about how they've changed and how their behaviors changed and how excited they are to do the activity after surgery again, it just adds to, you know, why I love our profession and what we do so much. And for your listeners and watchers who are, you know, they maybe haven't had surgery yet, the inspiration to hear you talk about how, you know, they're in that position right now where their mobility is limited and they're just, you know, looking forward and excited to get on that path. For me, walking is definitely mind clearing. It's an opportunity to, you know, just get outside, get your body moving, or inside as we start to hit the cooler months here in Michigan, the snow is coming. But it's just an opportunity to let everything else that's going on in your brain kind of move to the side a little bit and make time for yourself. I think it's really great. And I'm just hearing all the research that Dr. McMahon is talking about and is things that I'm learning myself. But when I see patients in the office and they're talking about what type of physical activity they're doing and they're talking about walking, they're proud of it. They said, you know, I used to not be able to do anything and now I'm doing my walking. And it's just very inspirational. So I just want to continue to encourage the listeners and the watchers that this is absolutely a great thing for you. We see about a 10% improvement in weight loss. And we know it's not all about weight loss. It's the improvement in our health. But the numbers improve as we continue to move our bodies. So incorporating physical movement and walking is absolutely paramount to long-term success.
And as I'm listening to this conversation, I just the other day, I was running on my treadmill. I'm doing couch to 5K because I'd like to attempt to slog. I'm not calling it running. It's slow jog. It's a slog, the 5K. And I'm pushing myself to really ramp up. So I start walking at 3, and then my brisk walk is 3.5. Well, I was running at 4, and then I was running at 4.5, and then I got up to 5. But when I was getting up to 5, I was finding it was really difficult for me to sustain that 5 miles an hour for the entire minute or a minute and a half. And I was really getting down on myself. But I checked my mindset and I said, it doesn't matter how quickly I cross the finish line. What matters is that I'm crossing it. And before surgery, walking at 3 miles an hour sustained was a difficult thing for me to do. And now just hearing all of these numbers about how walking at 3 miles an hour for 3 miles has so many deep metabolic impacts to the positive, that's really going to help me shift kind of my overall mindset when it comes to walking. Like, yes, I walk every day when I'm at my home or when I'm going to the grocery store, but it's that intentional shift of, no, I'm going to be walking at least 3 miles an hour for my metabolic wellness. That to me kicks it in the realm of like, well, I am working out. I am legitimately moving and I am making some major impacts to my overall health by being intentional when it comes to walking.
Yeah. I'll just say one more thing. Go ahead, Nat. Oh, I just wanted,
you know,
all right. So I just want to say one last thing, and I know we need to have time for trio, but you know, walking, if you need to like challenge yourself, if you want to improve like your cardiovascular fitness and things like that, you know, there's benefit to even if you walk rapidly for 1 minute and then walk slowly for 1 minute and then you walk rapidly for 1 minute. That kind of up and down, like the like an interval training almost, actually is really great for burning, you know, fat tissue in the midsection or belly fat, so to speak. You know, you can challenge yourself by walking uphill. You can do rucking, like you guys had an introduction to that. There's ways to make walking more challenging if you, as you get better. So when I first started out, I could barely, you know, walk like 3 miles per hour for 20 minutes. And you know, now I average a 4 minute walking mile if I'm doing quote unquote power walking. So that's one of my favorite non-scale victories. One day I was walking and I'm like, I'm going to try jogging. And I, the first time I did it, I felt like I was flying. I felt like I had wings. So, you know, movement has numerous benefits, but I think in our community, especially once you can do things that you never dreamed you could do before, it gives you more motivation to keep exploring different types of fitness. So I think walking is like a gateway to exploring all other types of fitness. But if you stay at walking, that's more than fine as well. So win-win.
I like some motivation. You know, Dr. McMahon and I both participate with the Peloton app and to have the coaches and there's other opportunities out there from YouTube and that type of thing. But someone who coaches you along, say, OK, now it's time to step it up a little bit. I always like somebody yelling in my ear. And I think, you know, having an accountability partner like you talked about, you can inspire each other. You can encourage each other or even challenge each other. But, you know, using other assistants that are going to encourage you to go beyond your normal is going to help build your endurance as well. So I just love that about using apps and things like that are going to push me a little bit more than what I would normally do on my own.
I was just thinking that in the back of my head. I was like, okay, so right, the great place to start here is just to start moving. But then when you're comfortable with your baseline movement, having a few tools in your pocket to really help you up your game to get to kind of that 3.0 level could be really powerful. And it doesn't have to be anything necessarily, you know, fancy. It could be a simple pedometer, or it could be a fitness watch that you're utilizing, or an app that you download on your phone that's tracking kind of how far you're going. And the key to that, which I appreciate you saying, is it's one thing to do it for yourself, but when you have kind of a partner in crime, so to speak, if you have that person that's there to congratulate you and acknowledge where you started and where you are now, and then to kind of nudge you along as you go, can be super powerful, super powerful. Mm-hmm. Miss Nat, what were you going to say?
I was just going to echo everything, I guess. But my thing is, I really, when I was starting out, you know, pre-op, newly post-op, you know, I live in a city and we have blocks, right? City blocks. And so I would just start walking and I would say, okay, today I'm going to go around 4 city blocks. That was a challenge for me. Okay, I've got the 4 city blocks down. Let me just tack on another block. And before I knew it, I was walking around the perimeter of my entire neighborhood because I would just add on, you know, a block or two every time I walked. And I think when I shifted from, you know, the quickness or the time, when I shifted from that to how far can I go? Because really, at the end of the day, when you're walking like Jason with his family and at the college day, it's not about how fast you get there. It's how far do I have to go? And I wanted to challenge myself, and I still challenge myself. How far can I go today? It doesn't matter how long it takes me. I just want to go, you know, 3 miles today. Or I want to go 2.5 miles, whatever that goal is for you. But it really, I feel like my health really shifted mentally and physically once I shifted my mindset from the speed of my walking to how far.
Yeah, that's one of the things my wife always laughs about is when I was post-op and my doctor was telling me you got to walk 30 minutes. well, the more I could start, like, the better I started feeling, the faster I started walking, and we get back to the house. She's like, what are you doing? I was like, we had the walk. And she was like, that's not 30 minutes. She's like, you still have to walk for 30 minutes, regardless of how far and how fast you get there. It's still 30 minutes. Like, you can't outrun time. And I was like, oh, okay. She's like, now we got to do one more lap. And I'm like, oh, okay.
I'm just dying because I can hear Sarah in my head being like, no, sir. We're walking for 30 minutes just because now you can walk that quicker.
Yes, because
you didn't beat the game.
When I am walking, I am like a horse that's seen the barn. When I see the house and I'm ready, I lock in and I'm just like, I will speed up even if I'm half dead. I will speed up until I make it. And she laughs and she's like, nope, we got to keep going. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah. I love it. You know, and the thing that I have really started to come to learn about myself is I think everybody experiences progress in very different ways. And for me, progress in my life is I check a lot of things off, or I can go from 0 to 60 really quickly. And then as soon as I really start pushing myself, I go backwards a little bit. But it's almost like for me, I do this. And I have to go down a little bit because that actually propels me forward. Whereas some people are very predictable, these very gradual stair steps that they can do. It doesn't matter really what progress looks like in your life. It's going to be different for everybody. And I've really started to just acknowledge the fact that this is what I do. I do this loop-de-loop, and that's progress for me. And that's okay. And as long as I can acknowledge that, I know that when I feel like I've taken a step back or I can't do quite as much, it's like, oh, no. You're cooling up for that. No, you're going to get spun around and you're going to be able to go do something that you never in a million years thought that you could do. And it's interesting hearing how all of us have kind of experienced progress on a different trajectory. And yet we're all still here making amazing progress when it comes to our movement journeys. This is so exciting. I'm going to make sure that all of the research, Dr. McMahon, you found gets linked in our show notes, because people are going to want to look at these studies. They're going to want to read them. I wrote down the name and that book that will be in my Amazon cart, probably be my house tomorrow. That will be the book that I start reading right away. But again, these are really powerful tools that we can use to help us, tone down the all or nothing mindset and stop using the word just when it comes to walking. We are walking. It is a powerful form of movement. It's something we can do every day for our overall health, for our metabolic wellness, for our brain, right? And for who we are as people. And the more research, the more information that we can really put behind that change in our mindset just means it's going to be a mindset shift that we make for the rest of our lives. So powerful. All right, friends, I'd like to switch gears and learn more about the TRIO Foundation.
Wonderful. Well, thanks again for having me. I think it's really exciting for me. My career as a bariatric surgeon, as I mentioned earlier, is super exciting. And through my interest in the society and what's happening across the country, I've been able and been blessed to participate with the TRIO Foundation. I'm the current president, and I will be for the upcoming year as well. The TRIO Foundation is in its 20th year. Our walk from obesity, as we're talking about walking, is something that's been near and dear to our hearts. Let me explain a little bit about what the TRIO Foundation does. First of all, as you mentioned, we just went through a rebranding process. Previously, we were the ASMBS Foundation. And if people said, well, what's that? First, you'd have to describe ASMBS. Then you'd have to describe what bariatric surgery is. Through a really nice rebranding, we said we are the TRIO Foundation. And that stands for Treatment, Research, and Education to End Obesity. So now we can tell people in about a minute, nice elevator pitch, what we're about. And we are really about raising funds for research and education in the treatment. And the whole goal, just like to end cancer, is to end obesity. Though we know it is a lifelong chronic disease, it is new information is coming out from everything from walking and how it impacts surgery to surgeries itself, new operations and new outcomes. And so we have the benefit of working with bench researchers, people who are doing, actual research, and we fund their endeavors to help this. For instance, We just funded two $25,000 grants. So two researchers, a Dr. Shin and a Dr. Wheeler, they went through a process through the research committee, through the ASMBS. So we have a research committee, and people submit applications because they would like to get funding to supply their research. So the research that we do, just like American Cancer Society does research, or the Heart Association, we have researchers in the field of bariatric medicine and bariatric surgery. So our two recent award winners, who each received $25,000 for their research, Dr. Shin looked at how bariatric surgery can impact breast cancer. Now, there's a lot of information out there about how bariatric surgery decreases cancers, especially the hormone-related cancers in men and women, breast cancer, prostate cancer, thyroid cancer, and numerous others, about how bariatric surgery itself decreases the incidence of those cancers because, like cancers, obesity is an inflammatory disease. So what Dr. Shin is looking at is how bariatric surgery impacts the outcomes of breast cancer, for instance. Dr. Wheeler is looking at how the newer medications we're all hearing about, GLP-1, semaglutide, Wegovy, Mounjaro, all those things that everybody's talking about how that can act as a accelerator for weight loss, or at least how we can use those medications in conjunction with surgery in order to improve outcomes, maintain outcomes, or maybe a second line treatment, maybe even a first line treatment. Just like cancer has, some people will receive chemotherapy before their cancer surgery. We talk about using medications and how it may impact success after surgery. So very exciting projects that we're funding. And so that's basically what the TRIO Foundation is about. We are in charge of raising the funds so that we can give the funds to the researchers who can do this amazing work, to learn more about the impact of bariatric surgery and how it affects our outcomes. So that brings us to how do we raise the money? Well, the Walk from Obesity, as I said, we're in our 20th year for this. And this year is very exciting. We had done this during COVID, but this year we're doing this virtual Walk from Obesity, November 4th, you mentioned it. I'm so excited that Bari Nation has joined us. Very grateful. It sounds like you got an amazing team and already some of the top fundraising. So thank you all who are participating. And it really, I mean, if you imagine those steps that you're taking and you know, encouraging others to donate and support your walk, about how those funds are really making a difference in people's lives. And so we're just so grateful from that. So if you want to participate, we'd love to have you. It's across the country. It's November 4th. It's going to be during your event. So you're not only doing a virtual walk, but you're doing an in-person walk, which is how we like to do it around our hospital system. We'll get everybody together. But taking those steps to for awareness and also just to show support for it, it's really exciting. So our website is www.triofoundation.org. If you do about three scrolls on your mouse, you'll get down to, on the left-hand side, it says Walk from Obesity, and there's live in-person events that are being shown up there for. So if you happen to live in that area, if not, then just join one of the virtual teams, create your own team, join Bari Nation, just join in the fun. And the website will then create for you your own little webpage that people can be taken to where they can donate online. And it's a great, powerful tool for us all to get together with one common goal. But the whole idea is to raise funds for that research. So thank you for the opportunity to share that with you all.
I think what's so exciting when, you know, we spoke with several of you from ASMBS about this walk, as someone who struggles with obesity, it's so incredible to be a part of raising the awareness for my own disease, to help raise money to fund research for my own disease. I think that's where the TRIO Foundation and raising awareness about the foundation as well as this walk is so near and dear to my heart, as well as April and Jason's. And you don't have to donate. Just by walking and sharing that you're walking for this cause is meaningful enough. Obviously, we would love to raise as much as we can for this foundation to help fund future research for 2024 and beyond. But I'm just so excited to be a part of such a, it's a monumental event for the world of obesity and bariatrics.
Yeah, it's great that our community is, you know, one of the best things about our community as the bariatric community as a whole is that everyone, once they get far enough in their journey, they want to find a way to give back. They have so much energy, so much love, so much passion for how they, you know, how it's changed their lives. They want to make sure and give back in some way. And a lot of people really don't know how to start or what to do. And this is an amazing way to get that started because you are, you know, even though you're not getting your hands in the research itself, you're helping fund the research, which is equally as important as if you were doing the research yourself.
Yeah. And I think that awareness piece you're talking about, you know, because so many people think that bariatric or weight loss surgery is just about the weight loss. But when you start to hear of, no, it's helping, you know, get rid of high blood pressure, sleep apnea, you know, decreasing your cancer risk. We saw from one of our other research projects that it decreased the mortality associated with COVID. I mean, it's just so far reaching. It's just not about the numbers on the scale. It's all the health benefits that come along with it. And without our researchers, we wouldn't have this information.
From my patient perspective, what has been so powerful about my own journey and really getting to know the Trio Foundation more and ASMBS, I went into surgery thinking that obesity was my fault. I thought I had done this to myself. And because of the education that I have been exposed to, right, the people we've been able to interview on this podcast, the research that has been done by the Trio Foundation, ASMBS, and other organizations out there, I'm finally starting to understand that I'm battling a disease, right? This is a disease, not a decision. Dr. Smith gave us that line on a recent podcast. And the further I go in my patient journey, the more research that I'm exposed to, the more conversations I can have. It's really helping me shed the guilt and shame that I held for so long around my disease. But it also opens up treatment possibilities to me that I did not know existed. So bariatric surgery is my primary treatment for the disease of obesity. I've also onboarded community, right? I'm an active member of the Bariatation Support Community as am, right, a co-founder of it. So I'm taking on the support groups and the classes and the meetups there. Nutrition, I am also on a GLP-1, right, under guidance of my doctor. But because research continues to be done to get to the root cause of this disease, I know that my treatment options today are sound and are helping. And as my disease progresses, so will the treatment of it. I don't have to be worried that I'm going to run out of treatment options because I know science and modern medicine and doctors and researchers are working to not only, right, make sure that my continuum of care continues as a patient, but really are looking for what is it that causes it or what are the many causes of it and how can we address it so that people in the future don't actually have to even suffer from the disease because there will be a cure for it. It's so powerful as a patient to know I'm not fighting this alone, nor should I fight this alone. This isn't a me problem. This is a disease.
Those are great points, April. Yeah. And we just continue to, I get so inspired when we go to our meetings and learn all these things and interact with, you know, people who are doing the research, people who are writing the papers and people who are just on the ground, boots on the ground, walking, patients and clinicians as well. It's a really a great opportunity.
Yes. Well, and Jason, I'm so thankful that you talked about how after surgery, we are so inspired to give back because it is true. After surgery, it's like this veil, this fog has lifted from your life. And now I know you got a story to speak to this, but all of a sudden you can see things more clearly. You have more energy, you have more capacity, and you just start like hitting on all cylinders as an individual. And you felt like you have been held down for so long by the disease and by the weight that when it's lifted, you're like, oh my gosh, I have so much energy. I want to do something. And this is truly an area that we can apply our energy to by walking in this virtual walk, by learning about the Trio Foundation, by fundraising money, for having conversations with people about the disease. You are doing so much you're doing so much for the disease, really, right? For battling against it.
And it's such a complex, misunderstood disease. I mean, obesity was deemed a disease, what, back in the early 2010s? And it, to me, from a patient perspective, maybe not so much medically, but from a patient perspective for myself, it seems like it's just now becoming mainstream to consider obesity a disease. And you're right, April, as soon as I started learning more and that veil was lifted, I'm ready to figure this out for so many other people so that we can just come to terms to get the research, to get the help that this disease needs to move forward. And it's foundations like TRIO and ASMBS and activities like these walks that will help us get there. So it's very exciting.
And on Instagram, I can't remember who posted it, but I guess on Oprah's video, whatever she calls her online streaming show, she had an obesity medicine specialist on there talking about obesity as a disease. And I mean, she was a little too scientific. I'm not sure she got her whole point across, in my opinion, but I mean, she was 100% correct of what she said. She just used a lot of jargon, but just the fact that it's becoming a topic on talk shows now that it is a disease process. It's not as simple as put your fork down and go for a walk. It's much more complex than that. And then the article you posted in the community, that Harvard article, did you see that about the obesity genes?
Yes.
So they did a study that there was 32 obesity genes that they were following, and exercising and walking actually decreased the activity of those genes. So, I mean, they're getting down to knowing which genes it is, which neurochemicals it is, which part of the brain changes after weight management. There's actually another study that I was looking today that they're looking at MRIs pre-bariatric surgery and post-bariatric surgery and see which areas of the brain change. And, you know, the medications that are out now, some of them work on, you know, emotional hunger versus physical hunger versus physiology of, you know, hormone type thing. So yeah, it's amazing. And even as a physician, I had a similar take. I was embarrassed. I didn't get surgery until I was 47 and because I was embarrassed. So I think as much as we can all be vocal and give back, that's the way to battle it.
Yeah, we were invited to attend an ASMBS Integrated Health Networking virtual event just last week, and we had the honor of meeting and talking with Dr. Rachel Goldman, who is one of the psychologists featured on this Oprah special. And it is just so refreshing and inspiring and really uplifting as a patient to really be able to connect in meaningful ways with medical professionals and experts who view obesity as it is now being proven in the research as a disease. And for the first time in my adult life, to be able to interact with medical professionals who are treating my disease as such instead of a moral failure on me is the most inspiring thing that I think has really happened to me as an adult in the last 10 years, right? To actually be seen as a person suffering from a disease and be offered treatment options that make such a profound impact on my life was not something I experienced in my 20s and early 30s. And the tide is changing. I mean, I don't know if I can say it has changed, but it is changing. And I think we are all united in a mission to ensure that is the case, that tide becomes a tidal wave of change in the medical community. So more and more people can access treatment for their disease. Oh my goodness, my friends.
Very well said.
Thank you. This conversation has been transformative on so many levels. I hope everybody listening and watching is leaving with a much better understanding of why walking is such a powerful form of movement, with kind of a game plan to incorporate it more into our lives. with a very clear understanding of what the Trio Foundation is and just why the Walk from Obesity is such a critically important part to the foundation's mission. We hope that you are inspired to join us either on Dr. Pesta's team or on the Berry Nation team for this virtual walk. Berry Nation is a virtual organization. So when we saw that the Trio Foundation was having a virtual walk, we were like, oh, we're in. We could get hundreds of people to join us in this mission. So if you have not joined a team yet, we invite you to join the Berry Nation team, and we will link that in our show notes. So you can go straight to the Trio Foundation's website. You can join our team and join in on the fun and walk with us virtually on November 4th. Or if you are attending the Bariatric Society retreat, you can walk with us in person there. There's one final question I would like to ask both of you, Dr. Pesta and Dr. McMahon, and it has to do with where you are most hopeful when it comes to either the treatment or the cure for obesity. Where do you think it is going to come from based on the research that you know is being done? And Dr. McMahon, I'd like to start with you, and then we'll end with Dr. Pesta.
Yeah, there's a lot of exciting meds in the pipeline, which I'm hoping will help.
For some reason, I can't hear you.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm not muted. Can you hear me? No? Okay. Maybe I was muted. I don't know. So anyway, there's a lot of new medications being studied that are in the pipeline for the treatment, either, you know, pre-op, post-op, intra-op, you know, not intra-op, but you know what I mean? Like anytime in the disease process, they're studying medications and their application. But there's going to be an oral form of semaglutide coming out for weight management. Tirzepatide, which is Mounjaro, is being studied. Probably will have a different name when it comes out for weight management. There's another new medication that has three mechanisms of action, so it'll be even stronger than the tirzepatide. And then there's, you know, they're looking at all the different ways to quote unquote attack the disease. But as Dr. Pesta will attest to, and Dr. Smith has said so many times, that, you know, the most definitive or the most effective treatment for the disease of obesity at this time are the surgeries. But because they are both restrictive by changing the size of your stomach, but they also change that physiology the first 12 to 18 months. The only downside with the medications is usually you have to stay on them indefinitely. And there are studying like how long and can you try and do holidays and things like that, but they're very costly. So I'm hoping that as more come on the market, that we'll have some more accessible options. So that's what I'm looking most forward to, is that A, everyone has access to the medications, that way there's no supply demand issue, and that there's more options. So if a patient has a side effect on one family, they can be switched to the next. And I'm also excited that we're finally getting trained as physicians in nutrition and lifestyle and working to prevent or reverse disease with increasing quality of sleep, increasing physical activity, stress management, community. I mean, that is what the lifestyle medicine program is teaching our residents. Instead of saying, here's a prescription, you know, go take some pills, we're actually finally going to the root cause. And there's pushes in both, you know, all different fields. But the biggest thing that I think that we're going to see a lot of focus on is pediatric obesity, because we can try and start attacking the problem before it, you know, causes other conditions. But there's actually medications that treat, there's some genetic syndromes that lead to the disease of obesity, and there's actually medications to treat some of those genetic syndromes. So I think just overall the amount of research that's going on, and they're finding out new things, you know, constantly. But I'm hopeful for patient access, you know, more education in the healthcare community, and more access for support systems like you guys have created for patients. So, bravo.
That was great. Great summary. I think along those lines, what the medications that are having, you know, so much discussion now is finally allowing physicians to have a discussion where if a patient came in with weight-related issues, they would, all the they would just throw their hands up and say, I don't have many options for you. But now we have the opportunity to discuss it. There are treatment options with all the amazing research that's going on that Dr. McMahon shared with you today. I really see a combination, just like in cancer treatment. You know, you've got chemotherapy either before or after surgery, but surgery is often involved as well. So the combined efforts of the surgical field with the addition of these medications that are coming out now, and who knows what's coming down the road. I mean, it's really exciting stuff, especially the genetic component as well. So I think combined therapy, further education, great groups like this that kind of bring the message forward is just a way to combat and eventually end the disease of obesity. So we're really excited to be a part of it. And thank you again for having me on and sharing the TRIO story.
This has been an amazing conversation. And I'm just so hopeful for the future of bariatric medicine. And I'm just so hopeful for the future of so many patients that are going to be able to access treatment for their disease finally, once and for all. It's amazing.
Great.
Dr. Pesta, where can people follow you if they would like to do so?
For me personally, I've got a Facebook page, Carl Bariatric Pesta. I slid that in there. So that's what we kind of use for my surgical career. I'm on Instagram at Carl Pesta. I even got a little TikTok page, and I need to build that, but it's on there. You can search my name as well. But thanks for asking.
Awesome. Wonderful. Dr. McMahon, what about you?
I don't have any professional social media yet, but those that would wish to follow me, my personal journey, and I do occasionally put some medical type stuff there, is my Instagram, and it's Shan, S-H-A-N-M-A-C, 718. So I, eventually hope to have an obesity medicine page. I just want to make sure I'm fully ready to launch all that. So,
I mean, and Natalie can tell you all about the ins and outs of launching social media. She is our social media guru, and there's a lot that goes into it. So we understand. And of course, you can follow the TRIO Foundation on Instagram. They're just at TRIO Foundation, one word. And if you don't follow Bari Nation, we invite you to do so today. We are just at bari.nation. Thank you, Dr. Pesta, Dr. McMahon, for joining us today. This conversation was amazing.
So great. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Jason, my friend, you want to take us out?
Yes, ma'am. Dr. Pesta, Dr. McMahon, we appreciate your valuable knowledge and time and effort you put into speaking with us today. It was fantastic. And for our community, we appreciate all of the support that you guys have given us so far, liking, sharing, subscribing, all the things that you guys have done to help boost our numbers and get us where we need to be, which is all the corners of the internet to help all the people that may need the help that they're not getting in their daily life. So we appreciate you guys for all of that. Just remember, at the end of the day, you've got this, we've got you, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, friends.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.